And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. Genesis 2:2. When I was a child, Sabbath had become a completely foreign concept. Not because I didn't enjoy rest and delight like any other child my age, but because as a millennial, for the majority of my life, Sunday has not been a day of rest. For the majority of my life, by the time I was aware enough, stores were open 7 days a week. Activities like baseball or hockey had begun to fill up Sunday mornings and afternoons. Gone were the days when all you did on Sunday was go to church and have family time. Sunday had become, at least in this corner of our world, a day just like any other, ready to be filled and scheduled all the way to the hilt. Aside from a few holdouts like the Jewish community or other defined communities like the Amish or the Seventh-day Adventists, Sabbath as a day of rest passed from our cultural memory in the blink of an eye, much faster than it came into existence. Though if I'm going to be honest, I think that we probably lost our understanding of Sabbath long before the stores began to open and children's activities began to draw people away from Sunday worship. After all, stores would only open if they had customers that would come. But I think also Sabbath had become too restrictive. It had become too legalistic. Too many rules were placed about what you had to do. Go to church all day. I've heard enough stories about that from you all. And what you couldn't do. You couldn't play with friends or go to a movie or anything like that. There was rest, but there was no delight. There was no wonder. And so I wonder if it was really rest at all. Now, clearly, neither extreme is particularly restful in our current day and age where there is no Sabbath, but also not being able to delight in rest. And I think both of these extremes are not what God intended for Sabbath to be. Over the next 6 weeks, today and the five following, we will begin to explore what the Bible has to tell us about Sabbath. And there is so much more than the 6 weeks that we have, but that's what we're taking. We'll explore what rest means in the context of Sabbath. We'll explore what it means for Sabbath to give us freedom, to liberate us. We will explore the understanding of Sabbath as a gift to us. And we will explore how Sabbath brings us healing. And lastly, we will learn how Sabbath gives us hope. But today, we start at the very beginning, so to speak. Today, we explore the root of Sabbath. And hopefully, we answer the question, why Sabbath? Today, our reading from Genesis, it's the very beginning of the Bible. It is the very beginning. It's the first 34 verses of the book of our Bible. And we heard the longer creation narrative. There are two narratives, and this is the first one, which outlines the 7 days of creation. If you remember back in Sunday school, you might have learned about this as a young child, about the 7 days of creation, with images. So you'd have an image of each day, and the teacher might read aloud the verse of Scripture. And so for the first day, there likely would have been just a paper that was cut in half, black and white, signifying God's creation of light. Let there be light, and there was. The second might have clouds in the skies to show how the dome of the earth, the sky, was created. The third, you would probably begin to see trees appear on your image as God creates all the vegetation of the earth. The fourth, you'd see the sun and the moon in the sky with the stars. And the fifth, you'd have birds and the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the fish in the sea. The sixth would likely be populated with all kinds of animals and with Adam and Eve somewhere. But for the seventh day, what would you put? More often than not, we would probably depict the seventh day with just a blank page, a blank white page, as if nothing was happening after all the frenetic activity of the first 6 days of creation. Now, I suppose it's not particularly shocking that we have a hard time depicting the seventh day. After all, in our reading today, which Rick read so well, there was only 2 verses that are dedicated to the seventh day, and the other 32 are divided quite nicely over the other 6. It's as if our forerunners, those who developed these stories in Genesis, also had a hard time imagining what to say or what to write about this day of divine rest, as if they too had to leave the canvas blank, not knowing what it could mean for God to rest. It's a hard concept. God resting is a hard concept to wrap our heads around, let alone to draw or to describe in words. After all, if God is truly the creator of the universe, if he is the one who sustains all of creation, who renews it on a daily basis, then God probably didn't need to rest. God could have kept on creating and creating and doing whatever God wanted. God wasn't so exhausted after 6 days of forming the entirety of the universe that he just dropped down from exhaustion and decided to sleep for 24 hours. The truth is, we don't know what God's rest looks like. There isn't much of a clue in our narrative, and certainly the writers of Genesis weren't there, so they don't know either. But we do know that God chose to rest. It was a conscious choice to stop working. It was a conscious choice to delight in the creation that God had made, to just stop and enjoy. God's rest had purpose. It was not just a response to the busyness and exhaustion from his creation of the whole universe. And what is important to note that while Genesis paints a pretty picture of creation being all finished up after 6 days, Genesis says, God finished the work that he had done. The reality is, for this world to exist the way it does, God is constantly creating. God is constantly sustaining all life. He created all of us, and that wasn't back in the beginning. So he's constantly creating and sustaining the universe. So we shouldn't think that God worked for 6 days and then God never worked again. God's work of creation, God's work of recreation and renewal is part of who God is. It's part of his identity. And yet despite this fact, and despite the fact that there was always going to be more work to do, more creation to renew, more creation to do, God intentionally stopped. God paused. God rested. And I think if we take some creative license with the text, God probably delighted in the wonders of the new creation, just as a child on Christmas Day delights in their new Lego set that's been put together with such joy and wonder. I imagine we hear later in Genesis that God walks in the garden. So God delights in creation. And I imagine this is what God was doing as he rested. And because God rested, our text from Genesis says that God blessed the seventh day, that he made it holy, he hallowed it. God wove the gift of rest, this gift of delight, this gift of refreshment into the very fabric of creation. Now, whether you read the creation story symbolically as pointing towards a more general long-term creation with evolution and all this, or if you read it more literally as a 7-day creation, it doesn't really matter, because the fact that a seventh of that time, a seventh of the whole creation process, is dedicated to rest and refreshment is huge. And it should give us pause to know how important it is. Rest is so important that God enshrined it in creation itself. He enshrined it in the very DNA of created beings. Think of the seasons of the earth and the natural rhythms of spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter. Trees losing their leaves or turning to bright colors as we have them now. Most plants and trees lying dormant over the cold winter months as deep underground seeds prepare for the spring, where new life bursts forth. And then the summer, when the fruits develop and there is abundant goodness. Without rest, without dormancy, trees and plants would die, or at the very least, they would be less productive. Without hibernation, the mammals of northern climates would die. We would have no bears, no anything, squirrels even, as the food stocks dwindle without this period of rest. Without sleep, we humans function at far less than an optimal capacity. You need only remember back to the days when you had a newborn infant or ask your children to know that your mental capacity is severely limited if you have no sleep. Rest is essential to the flourishing of life. And yet I fear that we in this world have lost both the understanding for the need to rest and the ability to delight in it. We work and we work and we work and we celebrate how busy we can be. I think a point of pride is if your schedule is all filled up and you can't fit anyone else in. We burn the candle at both ends, believing that to do so means that we are successful and that we will somehow achieve happiness or at the very least contentment. And if we do rest, and it's only an if, it's either out of pure exhaustion, like a runner who's just finished a long race that just collapses at the end, or it is out of this sense of obligation that God tells us you have to rest, so you do it with little delight or little wonder to be found. No way to enjoy the world around us or the people around us. We need to reclaim the natural pattern of work accompanied by delightful rest. Work and delightful rest. It is part of the rhythm of God's very life, as we heard in Genesis this morning. It is part of who God is. Work and delightful rest is part of the rhythm of a truly human life, part of who you are. Work and delightful rest is part of the rhythm of the church's life, part of who we are. As we participate in these rhythms of rest and refreshment and work and delightful rest, in the practice of Sabbath, we are participating in something holy, something that God has blessed and hallowed, that He has offered to creation as a gift. And by practicing Sabbath, we begin to experience the divine life of God. We get to do what God did. Just as God enjoyed the fruits of creation on the seventh day, we too can enjoy the fruits of our labors. We too can enjoy the fruits of God's good world that He says was very good. We too can experience fully the fruits of all that Jesus opened up for us on the cross and in His resurrection. Relearning the gift of Sabbath, or perhaps learning it for the first time, has so much to offer us as an individual, but also as the church. It is literally embedded in who we are, in our physical DNA, through God's gift of creation. And it should be embedded in the DNA of His church as well. As we relearn this vital, vital gift, we should be able to reconnect with who we are and with who God intends us to be. As we learn to pause, to refresh, to develop healthy rhythms of work, followed by delightful rest, we are able to savor all of the benefits of this wonderful creation that sometimes we just take for granted. We are able to enjoy our life together with the people, our families, and friends, which we sometimes take for granted. And we are even able to enjoy the work we do, something that often doesn't happen if we don't know how to rest. Over the next 5 weeks, we will learn more of what God offers to us in the gift of Sabbath, and we will learn what it means to pause and to rest. But my prayer is that we might know the gift of Sabbath in our lives, that we might all come to experience the wonders of God's very life, that He is embedded in the fabric of the universe through the gift of rest, gift of pausing. And perhaps we will find delight once again. Amen.